What is up? It is me, George G. Got another awesome episode of the Align Money Show coming your way featuring Jim Tucker. Jim is a financial and wealth advisor with Tucker Bria Wealth Strategies. We had an awesome conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. Then we got into conversation about Jim's newest book, which is focused on financial and family legacies. So how do you transition wealth from one generation to the next? But more importantly, how do you try and put your kids and your cousins and everybody in a position to stay together in an ever disconnected world? It's not easy, and all the different factors and variables that go into that. What are some best practices? What are some things to look out for that are oftentimes popping up? And just how do you fundamentally make it happen? Then we, of course, close with a great difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Jim, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Certainly, George. Well, first, thank you for having me on today. Because my first truth is I am now an Amazon best-selling author since we last spoke.
Amazing.
On March 31st, my book, of Family Legacy Wealth, How to Nurture and Grow Your Family Orchard, hit the Amazon bestseller list. So I'm very happy about that. Then to pivot on to my athletic endeavors, I was a swimmer at Duke, but in high school, I was not only a swimmer, but also dove for the team. And unfortunately, in college, most coaches either wanted you to be a swimmer or a diver. So I chose swimming. And the third truth or lie is that I have a great brisket recipe.
You have a what brisket recipe?
A great brisket recipe.
A great brisket recipe. Why is that so hard to say? Brisket recipe.
I don't know.
Brisket.
It's not that hard to cook, I guess. I don't know.
All right. These are great. I'm aware that you wrote a book. I'm not sure if you found or reached best-selling status. And as to whether or not you had to forego your diving, your passion for diving at Duke and just went on the swim team. And then this brisket recipe. I am going to guess that that number two is the lie, the diving.
I do not feel the heights. I don't jump off anything. So very good, George. Very good.
Excellent. All right. Well, first, congratulations on your family legacy wealth, how to nurture and grow your family orchard, becoming a bestseller. That is awesome.
Yeah, and this really was basically my attempt to talk about and write about the importance of maintaining extended multi-generational family relationships. And really, when we think about family relationships, we talk about family trees all the time, that vertical, grandparents, parents, and grandchildren generational mix. But when you start adding cousins, and then brothers and sisters, you get what I refer to as a multiple family trees or a family orchard. And really, in today's disconnected world, where we can't go and really have an opportunity to keep relationships among cousins and family members, that is something that it can be very important. We become much more impersonal, and all of the types of things that are online, even the groups, the meetup groups, what I hear is instead of making connections, you get together on a topic that everyone likes, be it running, be it cooking, be it visiting museums, and then everyone goes back to their respective homes and really doesn't create relationships. So in this impersonal, disconnected world, the great opportunity, because you don't have to form a team or form a group of family members, they're already picked for you. You can just really go and be intentional about keeping those relationships and growing and nurturing the family orchard.
Well, I love everything about that. And we certainly, the promise of social media was bringing us closer together, but I think that we all know it's sort of just brought us further apart and driven wedges of politics and whatever.
That's right.
Else
we're not meeting in person here either, George. You know, we're states apart, time zones apart.
Mm-hmm. And families are moving around a lot more. But all that being said, I think we're all coming to the realization that a lot of folks are lonely, and we do crave those connections that we probably used to have, and maybe we took for granted. So, it's a book about the importance of that. It's a book about how to foster these connections.
That's correct. So obviously, being a financial advisor, I've been able to look under the hood of over 200 families and see how families have keep and maintain family connections, and others that either they have lost that ability or they've frayed. The other piece, which is much a part of me and personally, is that my grandparents' generation of seven brothers and sisters started what is called in our family Cousins Club. And Cousins Club has been in existence for 80 plus years. We're now into the fifth generation of U.S. Born and raised of family members who have this amazing connection. It took me until fourth grade when I made a comment to a friend who asked me, what was I doing this weekend? I said I was going to a Cousins Club picnic. And they said, well, what is that? And I assumed every family had a Cousins Club because that's what I knew and that's what I grew up with. And so having that, and really the book is not only, talking about the importance of this multi-generational extended family relationships, but also how to create it. And the Cousins Club structure that works and has worked for my family may not be the perfect way for other families to create their way to create a legacy. And that's really what the legacy is. It's not about family legacy wealth. It's about creating a legacy for your family. And the legacy is really, being intentional and creating a relationship organization, if you will, that lives beyond you.
You know, it is something to leave money to future generations, but what a wonderful legacy and a true form of wealth to leave this Cousins Club that has now made it five, six generations. I think that's extraordinary.
Well, yeah, thank you. And you talked about wealth. And so I'm going to pivot now because it's great to talk about all this good thing about, family relationships and how you could do this. But let's talk about what could get in the way of creating this great multi-generational group of family members who are connected. Let's talk about what I call can create the root rot in the orchard. And the biggest thing that can create root rot in the family orchard is wealth, and specifically inheritance. So over the next 10 years, George, it's expected that $12 trillion, that's trillion with a T, $12 trillion is going to exchange from one generation to the next generation, with an additional $4 trillion going to charity. So what possibly could go wrong in a family when you have an inheritance? And quite frankly, it doesn't matter the size of the inheritance. It's just that there is one. Some family members treat it as their birthright, that they're waiting for the elder generation to die so they can get their hands on the money and spend it. There are others who also have figured out how to not make it this this problem. But as I mentioned, seeing under the hood of 200 families and then multiply that by the family members that I deal with either during the life of the parents or grandparents. But what happens is the money in our society doesn't get talked about. It's one of these taboo subjects. And with that comes a situation that a number of beneficiaries of family wealth aren't prepared to deal with the wealth. They know that there's something out there. They know that they're going to get something, but they don't know how to deal with it. And, you know, inheritance is included, or I include it, in what I consider to be a sudden wealth event. And sudden wealth does all sorts of things to people. You know, if you read about or just Google, you know, lottery winners, you'll read horror stories about, you know, how many of the lottery winners wish they never won the lottery. There is a website that I found as I was researching the sudden wealth concept for my book called list25.com. And list25.com talks about this one individual who won $3 million in a Michigan lottery. 2 years later, he had lost his marriage, lost his kids, lost his fortune through a crack addiction. That's a horrible situation. Then if you add to it, or another, you know, sudden wealth situation comes with athletes. And I've had the opportunity in my wealth management career to work with athletes. And now you have high schoolers who are getting these name, image, likeness, these NIL deals. So it's getting into the high school level where they're just not prepared to deal with money. And so it's a function of, you know, literacy. It's a function of feeling like you now owe it to some people to take care of them, you know, whether you buy, you know, your parents a house, a car, or and then you can have a posse, as I've experienced at times, you know, working with the NFL draft and players who are looking for the draft, that I had the privilege of sitting in when veteran players would talk to rookies and explain that we, meaning them and their posse, we didn't make it to the NFL, you did. And a lot of times the concept was to go ahead and you may have to give up your posse, because there is an expectation and the social pressure of now having money and feeling like you have to give it, you know, to a bunch of people. When I was talking directly to players preparing for the draft, I said, make three lists. Have a list of people who you think you owe money to. Make a list of people you think are going to assume that you owe money to them. And then make a list of people who you want to share your wealth with. And I said, rip up the first two lists and just worry about the list of people who you want to share with, not that you owe them anything and not that there's any reason that you are required. That social pressure that we all face, quite frankly, when we have any type of money, any type of windfall. So the sudden wealth aspect is something that inheritance, and I'm gonna come back to inheritance, really is critical to really get your arms around and talk about. So I'll take a breath. I'll see if you have a question from what I said, but I can certainly then continue on to the root rot areas.
Yeah, well, you've shared a lot of really, really powerful things. That three list structure is really helpful. And I think that's a great exercise for everybody to go through, whether or not you're coming into money or not. I remember hearing Shaq make a joke that when he's talking to his kids, he said, "We're not rich, I'm rich," kind of a thing.
Perfect, exactly.
And then finally, it just strikes me that having those expectations is such an important thing. And that's what the three list is really getting to, because you're going to get hit with requests and demands and wants from so many different people. So better to do this on the front end.
That's right. And so, talking now specifically about inheritance, because more than signing the pro contract, I think we all at some point will be part of the inheritance piece. And some of the things that I've seen is what I call the inheritance accountant, the one sibling of, say, three siblings, who keeps records to like the penny of how much mom and dad gave to each of their kids, and then wants it all to even out. And if it doesn't even out, they feel slighted in some way. And quite frankly, you know, I've only experienced it once, maybe twice, and in my financial advisory career. But I sometimes wonder, how do people have the time to keep track of everything, and where do they get all this information? But you know, so that's on the beneficiary. That's going down. But I've also had situations where the older generation, the parent who has money, wants to create strife among their children by doing things like purposefully giving an unequal amount without a reason behind it. And I'll talk about that in a second, about why you may want to give unequal amounts. But let's just say they're doing it to create strife among the living.
Wow.
And what I say in that all the time is that this is not a new event with the parent coming in and trying to create strife among their children. This is, and given that, the kids have already figured out that this is their parents' MO, and then they figure out how to deal with it on their own terms. So I always like to say, if you think you're about to create strife, and you've done this your whole career, your whole life, so it's not going to work. Those are the two extremes. Now let's talk about the real reasons why you may want to be equitable, not equal, in an inheritance. So again, you know, that's a term that I heard from lawyers and estate planning attorneys all the time, when they say you can try and give equal amounts to every, let's just say you have three kids, equal amounts to all three of your children, but they all may have chosen different career paths. You know, you might have a doctor, you might have a lawyer, and you might have a social activist, for example. And because the doctor and lawyer have the means to have a good life for themselves and their families, the social activists may need more help, or could use more help and have it be more meaningful. So in that regard, being equitable, because you are trying to sort of help with the wealth that you've created to sort of, you know, even out the kids' generation and the grandkids, for that matter, you know, that's something that is absolutely an appropriate way to give differing amounts in an inheritance to the next generation. I always like to say, but it never happens, George, unfortunately, that if you can sit down with the next generation, with your beneficiaries, and talk about why you're doing what you're doing, that is certainly the best scenario. It's very hard in our society. I mean, money is just a very difficult thing to talk about. Even being in the industry, sitting down with my parents and having the conversation was very difficult to do. So in that, with that as sort of a background, I encourage my elderly clients to either do a video or write things out, so that if anyone is going to be blamed and take the brunt of being the person who is the villain in this, would it be the person who has passed away? And then if individual, the child that feels slighted, well, then you can deal with it if you see them again in the afterlife. But at this point, it's important to be comfortable in being equitable, not equal, but also where you can, you know, find some way to explain your reasons.
That all makes a lot of sense. It's sad. Kind of, it's really irritating to hear that there are parents out there that just want to stir the pot. But of course, it takes all different kinds of human beings to make the world go round. I hope that that's the minority. I hope that that's in 80-20, that 80% of people want the best for their kids, and a smaller percentage than 20.
Oh, it is. Quite frankly, I mean, it is not typically the grantor of the inheritance that creates the strife. It's the It's the next generation. I mean, it's the generation who you have some who feel that it's their birthright and they've just been waiting their whole life to get their hands on the money and unfortunately spend it.
Yeah. Do you ever help facilitate those meetings? I'm sure that you coach all the time. Do you sit in on them?
Oh, sure. No, I try. And again, it's very difficult for my clients to not only decide to call a family meeting, but also introduce an outsider into the family meeting. Because that, if you've never had a conversation before, it's not just one meeting. It basically is, in my experience, at least 3 to 4 pre-meetings, if you will, before you even get to the conversation around the specifics of the dollars that are involved. It's basically 3 or 4 meetings, and a number of my clients, and I think this is fairly common because even though family meetings are the norm of what's advised to all financial advisors to have, the actual ability to do it, unless you're in the uber wealthy realm where you have paid consultants who come in and who are in that role in a couple of different ways. One, to sort of prepare, and a lot of times for the uber wealthy, there is sort of this lifelong preparation, not only among inheriting the dollars, but also within the charitable giving and how quite often there's a family foundation or donor advised fund that's been set up where there is a way, and this is something that can be done by everyone, quite frankly. It doesn't just, you don't have to have a lot of money to instill in your kids the importance of charity, the importance of giving some of the wealth to those less fortunate, irrespective of what that wealth is. But you really have a scenario where the family meeting is very, very difficult to pull off. At least it's been my experience. Parents sometimes feel that they don't have as much money as they thought they, or that their kids think they have. Even in giving to charity, the best way that I get clients to talk about giving to charity is when I explain to them that when they turn 70 and a half, they can take money out of their IRA tax-free if they give it to charity. You know, beforehand, if I say, hey, let's talk about your charitable giving, even though most of my clients are doing it, they think that it's going to be a value judgment on me, that I'm going to, you know, somehow say give more, you know, give differently. And that's not my purpose. My purpose is to just understand, you know, is that important? That do I need to plan for that and have that be part of their retirement planning?
Got it. Well, that is a lot of great feedback right there. There are a lot of so many blocks, so many things standing in our way to make good financial decisions, but you're helping walk us through the important things to consider. And if we can't get everybody together, write something out or make a video and try and make the communications, try to set those up in advance so that we avoid a lot of that pain and fighting. And it doesn't always need to be equal, and probably rarely is it going to be 33%, 33%, 33%, but you want to try to find an equitable solution.
Yeah, there's 1/10 or 1/100th with three people that you can never get exactly right. So it just really is a challenge. Yeah.
That is how that goes. Well, Jim, you've already given us a lot, but we're ready for that difference making tip. What do you have for us?
Well, it really goes back to what I said early in the conversation today. To create family relationships, the legacy that I'm talking about, not the wealth, is you have to be intentional. You have to create situations that are regular, that aren't a family reunion trip. That's great to have, but you want to create or attempt to recreate the day-to-day interaction that we all used to have by, you know, living in the same city, going to the same school, seeing people in the grocery store that are related. We don't get that anymore. And certainly my kids' generation don't have that. So you have to be intentional. And again, through Cousins Club, what I have been a part of, is a monthly meeting. And this is basically very little on a specific topic or anything too heavy. And then you go off and you know, it used to be, you know, the women played Maj in my family and the men played poker, but now we can do all of that online, even with people we don't know. So wouldn't it be great to do it with people you know? So you have to be intentional, and you have to recreate some of these little things where you know, people can get together. And I make a recommendation that you sort of have the small breakout sessions where you sort of start building some relationships before you all get together in a big family reunion. So be intentional.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on. It's important that we use technology for good instead of evil, Jim. And those are some great ways to do it right there.
Just wait for AI. I understand, George, but AI is going to take all that away from us. So
it's all out of our hands. Well, Jim, thank you so much for coming on. How can people get in touch with you? How can they have a conversation? And how can they get their copy, or where can they get their copy of Family Legacy Wealth, How to Nurture and Grow Your Family Orchard?
Well, great. Well, I'm a financial advisor with Tucker Bria Wealth Strategies. Our main office is in Durham, North Carolina. My phone number is 919-381-5780. And by all means, if you have a question from today's call or a comment on my book, please reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you. This is a copy of the book. I don't know if it's backwards or if you can see it, but the easiest way to get it, it is on Amazon, but you can go to the landing page of the book, which is FamilyLegacyWealthBook.com. And from there, you get to read the introduction, just get a look at it before you go ahead and buy it. And so FamilyLegacyWealthBook.com. Don't forget book, and you can go and take a look at the book.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Jim your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend that also appreciates good ideas. Pick up your copy of Family Legacy Wealth at FamilyLegacyWealthBook.com, and certainly get in touch with Jim about any questions you have about your family's financial situation or your personal financial situation, and get started moving in the right direction. Thanks again, Jim.
I appreciate it, George. Thank you.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.